All right, I'm Stephanie.
I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
I have a question that I have been wanting to ask Josh, but it's been too long that I can't really ask and I should know the answer.
I hope I have an answer. Go for it.
If someone is hurt in public and you're off duty, do you have to assist? Like if someone's choking in a restaurant or you're driving by an accident, are you legally obligated to stop and help?
I believe that the answer is legally no.
Oh, really?
Don't anybody hold me to this because the laws change all the time. I do believe that we are legally protected. We do not have to interfere as a civilian. We're supposed to help. And that's why most of us go into these professions, firefighters, nurses, doctors, EMTs. We want to help people, not so that I can watch someone choke in the restaurant while I eat my pastrami. I would like to think that no matter what I'm doing, if I see someone in trouble, I'm going to want to help. And I have definitely been in situations where someone's in trouble and too many people try to help at once.
Oh my God,
you have to actually tell them, you know what? We already have someone. Can everybody else sit down? I know that so many people were sued.
Yeah.
So many people were sued for trying to help, and either outcomes happened that were not intended or outcomes happened that the patient or person was not happy with. And then they sued the person who tried to help them.
Huh.
So now there are people, and I think it's not common, but there are people who would choose to, for whatever reason in a given situation, say, I don't want to help here. It's either not safe for me or I'm just going to choose not to help. If you choose not to, I do not believe any law would say, well, you have to.
That's good to know. The reason why I'm asking is if I'm out and about with Josh and there's like an emergency or a car accident, I am always like, Josh, do you need to help? Do you need to get out and do something? And Josh, I mean, he may slow down and look and he'll be like, no, they got it taken care of. But there's also been times where there's been like a fire, and by the color of the smoke, Josh is like, that fire has just started. And so he tried to find it, couldn't even hear the sirens yet, but it was a place that he couldn't even get to because of the location. It was like a farm somewhere, like somewhere in the middle of the farm. And we heard the sirens and we're like, we tried, but there's nothing we could do because it was somewhere the roads just weren't connecting.
But that's really good of him. And I think most people in that line of work are like that. You know, Ron was in the Coast Guard and then he was an EMT for years. And I can't tell you the number of times we have pulled over, stopped traffic. We have stopped on the highway. We once watched literally in front of us a guy on a motorcycle careened off the highway and hit a sign. Ron pulled the car over. We stopped. The guy had broken his leg. We helped him. We stayed with him until help came. I definitely do understand the feeling that if there's something going on, if you're a single person, especially if you're a single woman, if you don't have medical training, if you don't have any training in the military, not stopping because it doesn't look or feel safe. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. If it is not a safe situation, you are the priority.
Yeah.
I don't care how dark that sounds. And it's like on an airplane, put your mask on first.
Before assisting others. Is you.
Yeah, your priority is you. But most people I know who are in those lines of work, we want to help and we try to, even at a cost to ourselves. Anyway, that's that for the nurse's corner.
I was just curious. Well, thank you for clearing that up.
That's great. A complete left turn from the nurse's corner before I go into my story, but sort of having to do with health and exercise. I don't know if this is true. I'm hoping some other doctor, not maybe one of our listeners, knows. Somebody was claiming to improve your jaw tone, kind of tighten up that double chin that you should chew gum.
I've also heard that that's bad for you because it gives you wrinkles, which is ridiculous.
So which one is it?
Yeah, what is it? Can we have a dermatologist come on the program and give us Botox and tell us all the things?
Particularly give us the Botox and then we'll plug you in.
Yeah.
We need to know about the gum. I will start
chewing gum right now.
I will buy a giant pack from Costco and start popping those babies.
Yeah.
All day long.
Hell yeah.
You know what? Easy. I'm all about the easy solution. So
chewing gum. Give me the gum. Who would have thought? I mean, I get it. Because those are those jaw muscles.
It sounded like it might work, but I don't know. I don't have time to research every TikTok I see. That's what I've got here for medical advice.
Okay.
But I do have an excellent story for us.
Yes.
Real quick, I'd like to thank my husband, Ron, for bringing home the terrible true crime cases that he hears so that he can support my dark, twisted hobby. Thank you, Ron. Anyone in North Jersey needs a top-of-the-line attorney, you can get yourself over to our Instagram or Facebook page and message us.
Mm-hmm.
Promo code MAMMOTH. What do you like to do for lunch, Stephanie? Do you bring your lunch when you're in an office setting or a group setting? Are you the kind of person who brings your lunch or you order with everybody?
I do one of two things. I will just bring stuff at the beginning of the week because I have a hard time eating like full meals while I'm working because I'd rather just keep working and keep the momentum going. So I will have like little snacks, a soda, just like, you know, stuff like that to have on hand. But I am also the type of person who's like, oh, we're going out for lunch. I will totally go out for lunch with you guys because that's more fun than working anyways. Let's be honest.
Right. Well, I have the story today of the lunchtime killer of New Jersey.
It wasn't me.
What definitely wasn't you.
No.
This is a super recent case. Nobody's heard of it.
It's crazy.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
Carolyn Byington was born in Basking Ridge, New Jersey in 1993. And I want you to picture a bright girl, smart and pretty and always flashing a big smile in pictures. Carolyn was organized, loved to travel, and was an active volunteer for several organizations. Unfortunately, Carolyn was born with a brain defect known as Chiari malformation, which I'll explain for you now. Chiari malformation is a structural defect where the lower part of your brain pushes through an opening in the base of the skull into the spinal canal. It's kind of hard to describe, so I'll attach a picture when we post on the socials.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, your brain is smushing out the back of your skull into the spinal cavity where it's not supposed to be.
Ow.
How does someone with this condition feel? It can vary widely. Chiari malformations cause painful occipital headaches, vision problems, vertigo, hearing impairments, problems with balance, fatigue, sleep apnea, or trouble swallowing. The condition is often treated with surgery, and Carolyn was treated in 2008 successfully. After Carolyn graduated high school in 2011, she went on to Lafayette College in Pennsylvania. During her time at Lafayette, she was an event coordinator for the American Cancer Society. She even studied abroad in Japan for a year. In 2015, she graduated with degrees in international affairs, anthropology, and sociology. In 2017, Carolyn was hired as a senior associate in project management by a marketing and advertising firm in Princeton, New Jersey, a company called Engine Group. Also working at Engine was an accountant, 30-year-old Kenneth Saul, and he immediately fell for 26-year-old Carolyn. However, Carolyn wasn't interested in the advances of a man who was engaged to his high school sweetheart. Considering he became a father to a newborn in 2018 and used a wedding picture for his Facebook profile picture.
What a schmuck.
It's not a wonder that Carolyn wanted nothing to do with him.
Mm.
That didn't stop him, though. He became obsessed with Carolyn and spent years chasing her. In April of 2019, Kenneth Saul decided he was going to take what he wanted from Carolyn, whether she liked it or not. One day, while she was working, he stole her house keys and made a copy. Over the next few weeks, he entered her apartment several times and installed surveillance cameras so that he could spy on her, like a gross insect on the wall.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Carolyn had no idea this deranged pervert was watching her in her own home as she went about her daily life. On June 10th, 2019, Carolyn left her office to go to lunch. She didn't normally go home for lunch, which is probably why Kenneth wasn't expecting her to walk in on him inside her apartment. When she did, a struggle ensued. Neighbors would later say they heard faint screams and the sounds of furniture being thrown and pushed around. That's when Kenneth Saul bludgeoned and stabbed Carolyn Byington to death. Afterwards, he texted his supervisor to say he'd be returning late from lunch because he claimed he was getting work done on his vehicle. When Carolyn didn't come back from lunch, her coworkers immediately reported her disappearance to the police. They performed a wellness check, and they found her lifeless body that same day at 5:57 p.m. Her older sister, Caitlin, whom she was very close to, was notified as next of kin. Caitlin had wanted Carolyn to be the maid of honor at her wedding, and instead, she now had the terrible burden of breaking this devastating news to her parents. In the obituary, the parents, Robert and Jennifer Byington, asked for donations in Carolyn's name be made to the doctor who helped successfully treat her brain malformation.
Oh my God.
I know, good people.
Yeah.
In the days after Carolyn died, Kenneth's behavior spiraled into something darker and more paranoid. He would randomly ask a coworker, "Can I be arrested solely on circumstantial evidence?" I know, right? Just a little suspicious.
Yeah, that's sus.
His boss also didn't believe his story about fixing his car during his lunch break, and his coworkers noticed cuts on his knuckles and hands. The company called the police and reported his strange behavior.
Good.
Mm-hmm. By June 19th, police were questioning Kenneth directly. For his part, he denied anything more than a passing knowledge of Carolyn. He told police he had seen her on the day she died, but did not speak to her. I included a link to the part of his police interview, which I watched. You can see how he's gripping his hands together. I'm guessing because he knows the cops will see his hands shaking if he's literally not holding himself. A giant, sweaty ball of nerves from the way he pauses after every question, the way liars do when they have to think every answer through. Kenneth claimed to have been at a park 5 minutes away from the office working on his car during his lunch break. Police released him, but they weren't buying a word that he said. It wasn't hard for police to discover traffic cams, which showed him clearly driving around in the area of Carolyn's apartment during the time he was supposedly working on his car. Then, they found the Google records, which showed that he had visited Byington's apartment complex both before and after her death. Residents at Carolyn's apartment complex, when shown Kenneth's picture, confirmed that they had seen him lurking around the apartment laundry room in the weeks leading up to the murder. It wasn't a good look either when Kenneth hired a lawyer before even being arrested. For the piece de resistance, prosecutors were able to tie his DNA to the crime scene.
Mm.
Armed with all the evidence they needed, Kenneth Saul was arrested on August 21, 2019, on charges of first-degree murder and possession of a weapon for unlawful purpose. He entered a plea of not guilty at the start, but he doubled down on his stupidity when he turned down the prosecutor's offer of 30 years in exchange for a guilty plea. His trial was set for December of 2022, but he thought he had it all figured out. From the prison, he tried to arrange for another murder to occur, which would mimic Carolyn's death, therefore giving the illusion that there was a serial killer out there and essentially cast doubt on his case during the trial.
Oh my God.
Kenneth Saul believed his plan would make it seem that Carolyn's killer was still out there and he was an innocent man. He offered another inmate $15,000 to commit this copycat murder and gave him very specific instructions on how to make it look exactly like Carolyn's murder.
I hope that person in prison was just like, excuse me, warden. Guess what?
But that's not all, Stephanie.
Oh my God, it gets worse. This guy's an idiot.
Saul then had a backup plan of having one of the witnesses to the case murdered and making it look like a suicide. He planned to have their deaths staged with a note claiming responsibility for Carolyn's murder. The suicide notes, I'm putting up quotation marks with my fingers, were recovered from his jail cell.
Oh, bye.
The inmate he asked for help then worked with investigators and wore a wiretap to record the conversation that implicated Kenneth Saul. During court, the wiretap was played for the jury, and you can hear the part where he instructs the other inmate to stab a young woman in the neck using a screwdriver or scissors, then use bleach for the cleanup and make sure the location finder is turned off on the cell phone.
Oh. So it sounds like he did a little bit of homework. They think they're so smart, but they're really not.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what makes you think somebody else is going to risk coming back to jail? This inmate who's just about to go free is going to go out, murder somebody else, and risk coming back for $15,000?
Yeah.
That's pennies. That's no, nothing. Thanks.
I mean, everyone's problems are a little bit more than 15,000. Like, no.
Come on. You're not asking somebody to go out and just, you know, perform a hit. You're asking somebody to go into a house and perform this very intricate plan, this very specific stabbing. It's messy. It's going to be hard to get away with. It just, come on.
I can't believe that he thought that was a lot of money. Well, maybe it is and for him, but I mean, in what world?
And then, like, what made you think you could trust this person? I wouldn't trust a family member to do that for me. Not for, like, a ton of money. Forget about a stranger for $15,000.
That
idiot.
Is also in jail.
Yeah. Like,
bro, you're doing it all wrong.
They're not going to learn.
No.
Now, the trial would move forward with the additional charges of conspiracy to commit murder, conspiracy to commit witness tampering.
Mm-hmm.
During the trial, Kenneth's own statement in court was so self-serving. He said, quote, to my ex-wife, I'm sorry for the terrible decisions I made. That's what you want to call it?
Okay.
I hope one day you can forgive me for letting you down.
No.
Ew. How about, I know I'm a terrible person and I understand that you could never forgive me and that you should never come near me again. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds more reasonable to me.
I think that's what you should be saying.
Yeah.
Kenneth Saul ended up pleading guilty to first-degree murder, second-degree burglary, fourth-degree stalking, first-degree conspiracy to commit murder, and second-degree conspiracy to commit witness tampering in a copycat murder plot. He was sentenced on January 23rd, 2023.
Oh my God, that's so...
Just happened.
Yeah.
And he received 55 years, of which he will have to serve 46 years without the possibility of parole.
Nice.
As a final note, I would like to mention that the Byington family set up a memorial fund. The donations go to the Children's Brain Tumor Project at Cornell.
Oh, wow.
And I am putting the link in the show notes. We'll put it up on the socials. And I think that's a very touching and generous way to honor someone. I think that was a beautiful thing. For them to do that after experiencing their grief
mm-hmm.
was an amazing show of generosity.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I read talked about how her own struggles with that Chiari malformation really shaped her volunteer work as she got older. And it seems like that was really something that her whole family was passionate about giving back to.
Oh,
so
cool.
I just think that was really nice. So that is the New Jersey lunchtime killer.
So what was he planning on doing in the apartment? Because he made the copy of the keys and mm-hmm. he went to the apartment at lunchtime, didn't expect. What was he going to do? Just like
it's hard to know, right? Because we sort of understand that these stalkers are going to escalate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that his attorneys and he himself had probably convinced himself that I'm only going to continue to spy on her.
Mm-hmm.
I think a true psychiatrist for criminals and those of us who have watched this play out over and over again would say that eventually that probably wouldn't have been enough for him.
No.
At some point, he probably would have escalated to the point where he would have assaulted her one way or another. But let's just say that he never did. At that point, it seems like he was taking video and going in and out of her apartment because he had this obsession. It didn't say this anywhere. Maybe he was taking small items of hers.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, maybe little items around the house, you know, trophies.
Little souvenirs.
That's what stalkers do. Yeah. We know this. This is what they do, those peeping toms. And he was obviously watching the videos and getting off on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was doing at that point. Everything I could read from the reports seems like he wasn't lying in wait for her. She wasn't supposed to walk in on him. You know, there were one or two stories that were written in a way that it's, you know, oh, he was waiting for her behind the door. But that wasn't really the vibe. The vibe was that she surprised him and he panicked. And in his panic, instead of pushing her down and running out of the apartment, he attacked her and he killed her. He couldn't think beyond that in his stupid brain. How else am I going to get away with this? Now she knows I have to kill her. It's so disturbing. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. They don't just accept their guilt.
Yeah.
Look, he got a very fair offer. More than fair.
More than
I think he... Look, that offer of 30 years after stabbing someone to death. And I think he only got that offer because, like I said, she walked in. He wasn't there waiting to kill her. She surprised him. He panicked. And I think that's the only reason he got that offer for 30 years. It was too good for him to begin with. He should have taken it. And that son of a bitch thought he was too good for it. He was going to game the system from the inside and murder more innocent people. In order to get away with his crime, he was going to kill other women.
That's insane.
You should have just taken that plea, but I'm glad you didn't because now you got the time you really deserve. Now we all see what you're really
made for. Now we see your true colors.
Yep. When Ron brought the case home and said, I've got this case. It's called the Lunchtime Killer. Have you heard of this? I was like, no, definitely not. You know, he started to tell me the story and he got to the part where this guy was breaking in and putting the cameras in. And even at that part, I was like, ooh, that is so sick. It's just the violation that, she's walking around her apartment. She has no idea that she's being spied on. Just
right?
It feels awful. And in the meantime, you're getting married to your high school sweetheart. He was with his high school sweetheart for a decade.
Oh, that's...
She's pregnant. You're having a brand new baby. And in the meantime, you're breaking into this woman's apartment. You're getting off on these videos. You sick fuck. And then in court, he's talking about, I let my daughter down. I wasn't a good father. No kidding. Get your daughter's name out of your fucking mouth. You shouldn't even talk about being a father. You don't deserve that title. You're a fucking sperm donor. Don't ever think about your daughter again. I hope she doesn't ever know your name. I hope her and your ex-wife change their names and you never find them. I hope she never knows who you are. That'll be a blessing if she never finds you or even knows that she's related to you.
Ugh,
honestly.
That poor girl.
The fact that you were trying to play a family role while you were doing all of this disgusting shit. So like Ron's telling me this story and I'm like, ew. Then you got to the part where he's trying to launch all of these plots from jail. Not one plot, but plot two, plot three.
Okay, so I get that he's obsessed with his coworker, but I wonder what other shit that he's done that he never got caught. That's the thing, because sometimes these guys only get busted when it's something crazy, like they actually murder someone. Like, I get she walked in and surprised him, but he already was, like, putting in cameras. He already was at that point. So what other shit has he been doing his whole life?
Mm-hmm. during his statement, there was one point where he was apologizing to his family and, "I'm sorry to my parents, you raised me better than this." And then he said this thing. He said, "I'm sorry that I hid what I was for so long. For my whole life, you didn't see the warning signs."
So weird.
I mean, it's a strange thing to say, especially if you're not going to stand up and just say, "I'm a monster. I accept my guilt. Yeah. There's nothing better I can say. Let me sit my ass down." People don't wake up and get to this level. And even if he was obsessed with her for 2 or 3 years, there had to be other things. You got to this point because at other times you learned how to do this. You learned how to get in and out of places. Mm-hmm. You learned how to follow people without being caught. I mean, you were going in and out of her apartment for a very long time without getting caught. That means that you've already been at this game.
Yeah.
Honestly, when is one of these guys going to stand up and just say, "I'm a piece of shit. There's nothing I'm going to say that is going to make it better. I have nothing to say for myself. The only thing I can say is that I am a piece of shit. I'm so sorry to the family. My own family should forget I exist because I'm worthless. I'm going to sit my ass down now." I'd have a little bit of respect for that statement, and that's it. Everything else is crap.
Yeah. I have a question about, so when he was in there and she caught him off guard, did he have a weapon in hand? So, because if he used a weapon, like a tool to like install cameras, that tells me he was caught off guard and wasn't planning to kill her. But if he had like a gun or something with him, that tells Mm-mm. me something no. else. You know what I mean?
I promise my listeners, I really did my homework. I even reached out to the sources, mm-hmm. to official sources. I am waiting for a call back, so I'll update everyone if I get a response. It did not say whether the murder weapon was something he brought with him or not. Mm-hmm. However, it seemed to imply that it was something he grabbed while in her apartment.
Okay.
And that it was either a tool like a screwdriver or a hammer or something like a kitchen knife or a pair of scissors. And it was a combination of bludgeoning and mm-hmm. stabbing. Mm-hmm. So that combination of he didn't bring the weapon and it didn't seem like he was lying in wait for her, plus the prosecutor offering such a good plea deal at the beginning, that's where I sort of inferred that mm-hmm. he got caught off guard. He grabbed what was nearby or whatever tool he brought with him to install more cameras. And that's what he used when he was caught off guard. He did not, for all intents and purposes, I cannot see that he brought any kind of firearm with him. He just hit her with something very hard and then stabbed her with that object or a secondary object. If I do hear back from anybody, the case is closed. Hopefully I'll get some more answers. And if not, hopefully somebody can tell me why those details aren't being released and I can update everybody. I'm going to try to find out.
I would love to hear the follow up on this. And if he has also tried any more bullshit from prison, because you know he is.
How dumb can you get? Right? Would you really?
I know.
I would think they are going to be on top of him.
Yeah.
Bugging out his cell, top tier informant as his cellmate.
Did the wife say anything, you know, when they give statements at the end? Right.
Mm-mm. Ex-wife. She divorced his ass. Good for her. Like I said, she was not in court to support him.
Good for fucking her.
Like I said, I hope she changes all of her names and everything. I'm not going to post anything about her. Everything about her and all her pictures in relation to him have been wiped from the World Wide Web.
Good.
And so I am hoping it stays that way. I certainly am not going to help any connections to her. May she go off into obscurity and never, ever see that man again. I hope she finds someone else. I feel so bad for her. I can't even imagine the devastation that you find out that this man that you married and had a baby with, it was all along playing you, a killer, a stalker of another woman.
She just took the high road. And I don't think I could do that because I would be like, I have my packet ready of everything I wanted to say to him in court on the last day.
I'm petty
whatever.
Like that too.
I'd be like, and another like thing, too. And another thing. That's what I would do. She definitely, she's a lady. That's what I'll say.
She is. You know what? I think that that is the ultimate blow.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's going to be the most hurtful thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so she did. We want to be petty, but ultimately that's what they want, is to see you one more time. Mm-hmm. So she gave the crushing blow, and good for her.
Yeah.
Because that is going to hurt more than anything.
Good.
To never see her again. So good. Yeah. Good.
Or their daughter.
Yeah. No, take that baby and run.
Mm. I like her. Snaps. I hope all those things too. And I just sometimes, do you ever like hear things or stories and it's someone like in her situation, you're like, can I just give you a hug? I'm not even a hugger, but I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Oh, sucks.
Well, I'll be looking forward to any updates.
I'll let you know. Maybe the prosecutor will call me back or something. I'll let you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think the lesson to take away from this, to just head up off a little upbeat, this is our dark podcast, is don't pack your lunch, guys. Oh, hell treat no. yourself.
Yeah.
Join the office. When they go to Chili's or they order in that pizza,
right?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Indulge.
Don't go home for lunch.
No, F that. So I used to be able to like go home for lunch and stuff. And when I did that, I never wanted to go back to work. So that is just more motivation. Don't go home for lunch. I swear to God. I thought the story was going to be about like, you know what happens to your food when you leave it in the work fridge? You're being poisoned, you dumbass. That's what I thought.
That is another kind of horror story, I'm sure, that people would all day long call and write in about coworkers. People get crazy about their office lunches. I worked in an office, a doctor's office, where people get real crazy with notes on the food they bring in, on the mugs that they keep in the cabinet.
Yeah. Well, don't keep it.
Let me tell you.
That's my thing. Like, maybe I'm lucky and I've always had like a lot of space, my own little area, but I would use the kitchen or whatever, but just keep your shit at your desk. And it, like,
right?
I always had my drawer where I kept my purse because I could lock it in there, but that's where I would keep like my good candy, you know, like the stuff I don't want to share. So a word of advice of people, I mean, if you are the type of person who doesn't like your food stolen or touched or moved around, I always kept an actual physical can or like, you know, things that you can't open and like pick at or smell, or because that always skeeved me out. And like, I don't know. Thank God the last office job I had, me and like two other coworkers, we were like, do you want to buy a fridge? Because we shared a giant office. It was like a room that we shared. I had like one side, she had the other, and we like bought a mini fridge, and like that was the best. And I would recommend doing that. Just get your own fridge.
I'm going to say this. People have some weird situations out there. Some coworkers have some real audacity.
Yeah.
They will go into your shit even when it's packaged.
Ooh.
Even when it's sealed. I've seen some things online
I can't even.
Out of control.
Yeah.
Just order in.
Yeah, just order in. Just skip lunch. Be an adult and drink a energy drink like we all do. And then eat a giant dinner like an adult.
You know what I really loved? And this comes with a chef's kiss recommendation. I used to bring my lunch. And then I used to say, well, you know, I'm heading out for lunch because I'm taking my lunch. I'm not eating at my desk. I'm not powering through anything. No, I'm taking my lunch. I would go sit in my car.
Isn't that like therapeutic?
I would just sit in my car. If it's a nice day, I'll roll down the windows. I would drive to a different parking lot, or I'd stay, you know, in the very back of the parking lot. Doesn't matter. Dead of winter, turn on the heat, put on the radio. I'll take my 30 minutes, whatever it is, my hour. And I'll eat it there.
I had a coworker and I didn't have the guts to do this, and I don't know why, but he was not a smoker, but he had friends that would smoke. And whenever they went to go take a smoke break, he did too.
Yes.
And I'm like, why don't we all do that? I mean, they take like 30 breaks a day. And so he was like, I'm entitled to X amount of time for a break. I'm fucking taking it. And I'm like, that is so brave. You are so brave.
Yes. Take the break. Take more bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
Do it.
Tell your boss you have IBS. Just go sit and play on your phone.
Tell them your gallbladder doesn't work. Pull in Italia. Just go to the bathroom for 15 minutes. Put a timer on your phone. You're fine.
And just scroll through. I mean, these are the tips that people want to hear, I believe.
These are the life hacks that really make a difference. Brought to you today.
If anyone has any more life hacks, these are the life hacks we want. I don't want to know how to organize my pantry. I want to know how I can poop on company time.
I do want to know some pantry tips. I watched a woman who put the lid to a peanut butter jar.
I forgot about that.
She took it and put it on a mason jar. And I was like, that's good.
That was smart. Because
I constantly... lids get lost, and I love interchangeable. When I can just multi-use things, that's great.
I thought that was so brilliant. Tella lid also fits on a mason jar. And I was just like, you know what? I'm learning more from TikTok and the videos that everyone sends me than I actually did.
Than ever before. These things I need, because Tupperware sucks. You can only have the one lid that fits the one brand, that fits the one size. Plus, glass is better for the environment. It is. Fuck plastic.
I was just going to say, we got all the glass Tupperware, but all those fucking Snap-on lids, they're so frustrating. And at every single leftover you see in my fridge, one of the snaps isn't all the way down because I'm like, you know what? I got 3 out of 4.
That's right. Like, listen, that's it works. It'll be fine.
It's all good. Oh.
Well, thank you for joining me during lunchtime today.
Yes.
And
thank you so much. I hope everyone has an amazing rest of their day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Hey, everyone. I wanted to jump on here real quick and let everyone know how they can get a hold of us. Of course, we are on all social media channels. We are on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send us a message, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast@gmail.com. And we're much more active on Instagram, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast. If you have sent us a message and we haven't either responded or heard back from us, do not feel bad. It is not your fault. It's Natalia's fault. And with that being said, definitely like, follow, subscribe, review, share, all those fun things. See you later.